While more and more has been revealed about the Clinton Foundation, there's something that's become more and more scarce. That would be the foundation's former CEO, Eric Braverman. Braverman's name has surfaced in emails revealed by WikiLeaks. Braverman's whereabouts, they've been unknown both in public life as well as online activity. This disappearance was the focus of a column my next guest wrote for The Stream, which she is a senior editor for. She is also the founder and editor of Intellectual Conservative, Rachel Alexander. Thank you for being here today, Rachel.
Hey, appreciate having me on.
And find Rachel's column on The Stream. You, of course, go to stream.org, and the website for Intellectual Conservative is intellectualconservative.com. Now, I gave a superficial about who Eric Braverman was, but what was his role? How did he become part of the Clinton Foundation initially?
Well, he was friends with Chelsea Clinton, and I think they might have gone to Yale together or something, and she brought him to clean up the corruption at the Clinton Foundation. There was all this pay-to-play stuff going on, and so he came in, I think, about 2014, and by early 2015, the old guard didn't like him being with them and forced him out, namely Podesta. And we discovered this from the WikiLeaks email. Well, what happened is around October 22nd, WikiLeaks released an email from Podesta where Podesta named Braverman as the mole in the Clinton Foundation. So on October 23rd, a Russian blogger came out with a story that Braverman had sought asylum with the Russian embassy. Now, the Russian blogger seems kind of sketchy, and so who knows, but could there be some truth to that? Possibly, because if this guy has the goods on the Clintons, and now he's named as the mole who could have possibly even leaked Podesta's emails to WikiLeaks, because WikiLeaks has come out, Julian Assange, and also his close friend, this ambassador from England, they've said that it wasn't the Russians that leaked the emails to WikiLeaks. It was a disgruntled Democratic insider. So, and we know this Seth Rich. He was a DNC insider who was shot in the back in D.C. in the middle of the night, and none of his valuables were taken. But he was also considered to be the person who might have leaked the DNC emails to WikiLeaks. So knowing all this, is it plausible that Braverman, you know, really has disappeared and is in hiding from Clinton's? It is certainly plausible. And so people have tried to contact him. I contacted him multiple times myself, emailed him, left a voicemail on his personal cell phone. I've contacted multiple departments at Yale where he works. I've contacted the Russian embassy. Nobody will respond to me. Nobody will tell me, yes, this man is fine. I've also, just the other day, I contacted his husband. He wouldn't respond to my email, and he's also reportedly missing because he's got ties to Clinton oil interests. So that's what's going on. The mainstream media will not cover this story. It's been since October 22nd. I am the only mainstream journalist to write about it, and I'm not done. We're going to go to his class on October 19th, I hope, at Yale, and see if he's there, because this is horrific what has happened. I mean, one talk show host who I did their show a couple days ago, they speculated he could be dead. I mean, my gut instinct is he's not dead. He's probably in FBI protective custody. But you would think if he was okay, wouldn't he or his family at least come out and make a statement?
Or at the very least, I mean, this, I don't mean this to sound humorous or anything, but knowing how addictive Twitter is, the fact that someone, especially in his industry, hasn't launched a tweet since, I think it was October 12th or 19th, that too is, you know, kind of suspicious, where your online media presence, I mean, that would be a safe haven. If you wanted to just let everyone know, hey, everything's okay, just don't worry. I mean, something, even just something general. Don't worry about me. You'll see me soon or whatever the case may be. Not a peep even online.
That's right. And he only tweets once a month, but still, it's now, you know, January, October, November, December, January. I mean, it's been 3 months and he hasn't tweeted. Oh, and I should add, some of this stuff is going to go in my next article, but there was a read receipt that somebody received when they emailed him. So somebody is looking at his email.
Okay. We're talking with Rachel Alexander, senior editor at The Stream, political columnist, founder and editor of Intellectual Conservative. And her article, which you can see at stream.org, The Mysterious Disappearance of Former Clinton Foundation CEO Eric Braverman. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned how Braverman came in by the invitation or the urging of Chelsea and was pushed out by the old guard. of the Clinton Foundation. Is it safe to say that the old guard would not take any actions unless that action was approved by one or both of the Clintons, Bill or Hillary, to push him out?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, you know, the fact that he was pushed out meant that Chelsea ultimately did not have control. It was Bill and Hill, you know, calling the shots. And since the pay-to-plays continued to go on, you know, and they were the pay-to-plays were involving Bill and Hill. I mean, the one that pay-to-play that was going on when he was forced out was the King of Morocco offered Hillary Clinton $12 million for the Clinton Foundation if she would merely give a speech.
You have in your column a couple of what is the asylum in Russia, FBI custody. Looking at maybe a third option, because like it or not, everyone has a price. Is it a possibility? Was Braverman, because there is a lot of money in the Clinton Foundation, could someone get to Braverman and say, disappear for a while, let this whole thing blow over, especially now since we know that apparently Hillary is being urged to run for mayor of New York City now. That ought to work well. But can Braverman be laying under wraps for the other side, for the Clinton Foundation's sake?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting theory. And I think that certainly is plausible. And it sounds like something Clinton would do. I could see that. I could see that. Wow. I'm going to have to look into that one.
I mean, hey, it's how they got the mob. You follow the money and see what happens. Although, and we learned too just recently, ever since the election, the Clinton Foundation funding has pretty much gone down the toilet now.
Yeah. They're definitely suffering. And I really hope this is the end of them. You know, the FBI has been investigating them all along. They've never stopped that investigation. And, you know, a source within the FBI did say that there's going to be indictments down the road. So that organization is so corrupt and so sleazy, and the fact that they would have such, you know, poor security that all those emails would be leaked, which, you know, they're so intertwined with the government that I think they're very dangerous. The Clinton Foundation is dangerous for America, and I would love to see them unraveled.
You know what's interesting, too, the fact that Braverman was a close friend and classmate of Chelsea. And other reports had pretty much Chelsea writing at a higher level within the Clinton Foundation than even Bill was. And seems like Chelsea got vetoed out of this whole thing, which is kind of odd, given what the assumed structure and who had the true powers. If you wanted to do a Clinton pecking order of the Clinton Foundation, it was more Hillary, Chelsea, and Bill, 1, 2, 3, instead of Bill on top.
Yeah, I think there was a point in time where Chelsea soared and it was really starting to run the thing, and then she got pushed back. And as we've seen from these WikiLeaks emails, one of the guys who really pushed back was Doug Bales? I think that's his name.
I think you're right.
Yeah, he was the one who kept sending emails to Podesta complaining about Chelsea. So yeah, I believe there was the pushback, and that pretty much led to Chelsea being, you know, lowered back and but it does seem Podesta was kind of running things behind the scenes. Like, it seems like Hillary and Bill, like, delegated, you know, the power to Podesta, but that's because he was looking out for their interests.
Obviously, I mean, we were talking about how Eric Braverman disappeared and is not being heard from, and it doesn't take much to get the attention of Camp Clinton. Have you gotten any attention from Ken Clinton by publishing this column?
No, but I've had two talk show hosts ask me if I'm afraid for my life. And my response was, well, I've been editor of a gun magazine for 2 years, so I think people know I'm really good with a gun. I'm actually about to buy another Glock 40 caliber. So I'm not terribly worried, but on the other hand, I do think I'm probably on their radar.
Although I would doubt, especially given what you and the information you just shared, we're not going to find you, you know, sprawled out in the park with being right-handed with a gun in your left hand. So I don't think that's going to be likely to happen.
No. They're going to have a hard time surprising me. I mean, I will always have a gun on me, and I'm very aware of my circumstances. I've had all that training and all that. So
the article, and as Rachel just explained, the first and possibly a series, because no doubt the revelations of the truth are not going to be willingly by Camp Clinton, but you can start by going to stream.org and read The Mysterious Disappearance of former Clinton Foundation CEO Eric Braverman. Along with being senior editor at The Stream, she's also founder and editor of Intellectual Conservative, which you can find online at the obvious location, intellectualconservative.com. Rachel Alexander, we always appreciate someone who's willing to dig for the truth and demand the truth. You are doing both, and no doubt will continue to do so. Thanks for doing that, for being here today.
Great. Thanks a lot for having me on. God bless.